on budget, guaranteed. Give renovations a call at 831-620-1700 or visit renovations on their website at renovations.net. And a very special thank you to shout out to Nancy from Vancouver, who is a listener now. We've gone international, folks. Woo-hoo-hoo! And remember, tomorrow really does matter. Tell a friend. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins
Progressive
Show.
Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Has the airliner you're about to fly been inspected properly? Chances are it has. But what are we doing talking about chances?
FAA whistleblower Douglas Peters said the public deserves the truth.
They also deserve to board a flight without having to worry if the FAA inspector responsible has allowed them to knowingly fly in an unsafe aircraft.
His colleague Bobby Boutros said allowing skipped inspections
puts the lives of the flying public at jeopardy. It is dereliction of duty and should be criminal.
And Chairman James Oberstar said Southwest Airlines is not alone.
Clearly, this is not an isolated aberration, but rather a systematic breakdown.
He said the FAA must change the way it does business. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
ATA Airlines is done, bankrupt, suddenly shut down, planes parked. Today's estimated 10,000 passengers left at airport terminals, and they are not happy.
Wow. Very frustrated, very just discouraged and let down, and you know, but yet we still want to try and go on our vacation.
ATA has been the nation's 10th largest air carrier. This is the second bankruptcy in less than 4 years for the airline. Virtually all of its 2,200 employees are on the street now. A simply awful, heartbreaking house fire in western Pennsylvania.
It's bad enough to lose an adult, but when there's so many children involved, that's a terrible thing.
By the time Brockway firefighters got to the blazing home, it was fully involved and too late for the 10 people inside. Only two got out, and that just barely. The latest CBS News New York Times poll asked you whether America is on the right track, generally speaking.
4 out of 5, 81%, say the country's on the wrong track. Just 14% say it's headed in the right direction. That number, 14%, is the lowest number we have seen in the 25 years since CBS News began asking Americans to tell us if the country was on the right track or the wrong track.
CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic. Another poll finds more people, 55%, say race relations in America is generally good. 42% of blacks say so, and that's up 9 points since President Bush took office. Zimbabwe's president is not going away quietly. Robert Mugabe's government sent police to raid the opposition party's offices today. Jason Matewu at the opposition MDC.
What I believe now, Mugabe trying to rule by using the military.
It's not clear what's up yet, though foreign journalists, including the New York Times reporter in Harare, were rounded up in the raids. Does the name Frosty Freeze ring a bell? No, it is not an ice cream truck. He was one of the first big stars of breakdancing in the early 80s. Wayne Frost was his real name. His acrobatics on cardboard in the 1983 movie Flashdance were credited with launching the dance craze. Frosty Freeze was 44. On Wall Street, the Dow up 20 points. NASDAQ gained nearly 2. This is CBS News.
Got a job to do around your home? Your neighborhood Ace Hardware is ready with expert help and friendly advice. Buy a 15-pound bag of Ace brand lawn fertilizer for $8.99 and get a $3 rebate. Or buy an Ace broadcast spreader for $24.99 and get a $5 rebate. Use your Ace rewards card for double points on select Ace brand and Scott's fertilizer. Sale ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax lines.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/payroll.
All kinds of challenges remain for the next generation space rocket.
The Government Accountability Office says the Orion spacecraft is too heavy. No one's been able to come up with a heat shield big enough to protect it during reentry. The GAO says the Ares rocket is likely to vibrate dangerously after launch, and that it may not be powerful enough to fly its payload. The report also says NASA's development schedule doesn't leave much wiggle room for setbacks in trying to fly by 2015. The space agency says it's working on the problems and believes Orion and Ares will fly on time.
CBS News correspondent Peter King. Much ado today about the new law in South Carolina that allows young people at age 18 to own a gun. It's been signed by the governor. By comparison, Montana's age limit is 14. Wyoming doesn't have one. Things have changed a lot, though. Years back, millions of boys looked for their first rifle under the Christmas tree at about age 12 in much of the country. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey man, is that a Garmin Nuvi?
Indeed. It came strapped with Bluetooth for hands-free calling. And I programmed it to make only left turns from now until Election Day. It's pretty cool, huh, buddy?
Turn left in 0.2 miles.
Yeah, brilliant. You do know that three left turns equals one ridiculously long right turn, right?
Recalculating.
Thank you, Professor B. Haydenstein. You've crushed my dreams completely.
Follow the leader. I'm Garmin Nuvi, and I approved this message.
Bluetooth not available on all models.
That bell means the stock floor is closed for the day. But at Forex.com, you can trade foreign currencies around the clock. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio into the OTC foreign exchange market. Go to Forex.com to open your free practice account today and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. When the stock market's closed, Forex.com is open for business. Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and why are you smiling, huh? A little early, we haven't even cracked a joke yet. Welcome to our program.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
And the smiling faces I'm looking at right now is a gaggle of senators, including Mitch McConnell. With that happy smile on their faces, the self-satisfied look, as they passed a paltry package to help homeowners avoid a mortgage meltdown. And yet to drop is the Durbin to allow bankruptcy judges to intervene to help people dial down those mortgages as they creep up. We've got a lot to talk about today and some great people to talk with, including you, the listeners. You can call in at any time, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 is our number. Yes, we know that Randy Rhodes of Air America Radio has been suspended for some comments that she made right here in San Francisco a couple of weeks back at a listener event sponsored by one of our affiliate stations, Green 960. And we'll be talking about that in the free speech zone this afternoon, give you a chance to offer your thoughts about that. But before then, Faz Shakir will join us in a moment at the Center for American Progress. We've got some things to talk about. Doug Castle, who is the director of Notre Dame Law School's Center for Civil and Human Rights, will join us in the later this hour. He debated John Yoo about his infamous torture memo a couple of years back, and we have a clip from that. And we'll get Doug Castle's comments on the release of the 81-page pro-torture document penned by John Yoo back in 2002. It was only in effect for 9 months, they tell us. During that time, some waterboarding and other torture apparently happened, and we'll be talking about that with Mr. Castle. Scott Dick next hour, our contributor on military and veterans issues. We're going to talk about Doug Feith, used to work at the Defense Department, one of the architects of the neocon plan for the war in Iraq. And he made some comments about torture that we will be discussing. Also, Scott wants to talk about the way the U.S. Military was caught off guard by the Iraq military's determination to go into Basra last week. And we'll talk about those high gas prices in Iraq, an oil-producing nation, where they're paying just about as much as we pay here in California. Then in our free speed zone, we'll take your calls about Randy and other issues. Ben Bernanke says it's a contraction, not a recession. Can't you tell the difference? And we're also going to tell you what to do with your old analog TV sets. They are ending or nearing the end of their useful life, and Jennifer Biemesterfer is going to tell us how to recycle them. Faz Shakir is the research director at the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report and blogs like a madman at thinkprogress.org. Faz, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. A lot going on, and Think Progress is it's really your redesign and the extra video and stuff you've put up. I just want you to know I'm one user who really appreciates it.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad you like the redesign.
And you got a couple of items up here about John McCain. We're going to reserve one for next hour for our discussion with Scott Dick about whether Al-Qaeda and Iran have any common interests, as the senator has been recently incorrectly asserting. But you have another item here. He's on this biography tour this week, and Faz, we've been following it very carefully and trying to correct the record as the McCain campaign attempts to spin it. We had a fascinating conversation on Monday with Dr. Phil Butler, a retired Navy commander, who not only was at the Hanoi Hilton for 2.5 years longer than John McCain, but also bunked across the hall from him at Annapolis at the Naval Academy. And he reports that McCain was a hothead and a rule breaker all the way back as a midshipman at the Naval Academy. And so some of the gloss that they're trying to put on McCain gets interrupted by these reports of his nasty temper and angry kinds of responses to reporters and others. But on this this bio tour, you have a clip up here from the wonderful Fox News Channel of John McCain at the Cecil Field Naval Air Station in Florida, where he took the opportunity to attack pork barrel spending. And at Think Progress, you point out that he was at a facility that is porked up to the max.
Yeah, that's right. Cecil Airfield has received approximately $10 million in earmarked funding from 2001 to 2005. So it's been a great recipient of pork barrel spending, and John McCain, in fact, voted for a few of those defense authorization bills, appropriations bills, that provided some of those earmarks for Cecil Field. So I think more than anything, it just shows you that he could claim to take the high road and he can sit on the high perch and claim that he's not involved in this, but he certainly is, and earmarks are one of those things that just, if you've been in Congress, you've got your fingerprints on it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and it's almost inescapable because the earmarks get inserted into these huge bills that are too big to fail, and usually they pass because there's some goodie in there for almost everyone, and it's only the real deficit hawks who will stand firm and say, you know, I'm going to vote against a popular defense bill because it's got all this pork in it. But in the bigger picture, President Bush in the State of the Union message said that he wanted a big crackdown on earmarks this year, and Nancy Pelosi seemed to echo that, but she got an earful from her members, people like John Murtha, who's, you know, a real king of pork, and it seems that she's going to put that issue aside for now.
Yeah, well, not all earmarks are bad. I mean, there are quite a few earmarks that actually do serve local purposes that help to move the economy forward, help to increase the health and the safety and the security of local citizens. They build roads, they build bridges that are useful things. Problem is that a lot of them are not useful. And the question is, how do you weed out the ones that are not useful from the ones that are? And I think the more novel approaches that are reasonable are that you want to increase transparency, first of all. And then second of all, you want to create a process that doesn't allow people to sneak in things that haven't been authorized or approved by the full body. But even then, when you put in those types of things, the problem we're dealing with is a corrupt institution that scratches each other's backs, right? So if you get an earmark that is unnecessary, you'll vote for it because on the other end, you know, you will be supporting somebody else's earmarks that shouldn't be going through.
Well, and Faz, I think I commented to you after the State of the Union message that Bush hardly has any standing on issues like this because he was lecturing the Congress about following appropriate procedures. And he's the king of the signing statement, which is the presidential end run on laws that have been crafted, passed, and enacted by the Congress.
Yeah, that's right. And not only the signing statements, but he's also engaged in a lot of executive earmarking. And that's a process that isn't very well known, but that's something where the president has the authority through the budget process to ask for small line item type things, and he's actually asked for some things for the Laura Bush. There's been some Laura Bush namings and some George W. Bush namings across the country for various things. He's asked for that in the budget process. So there's a lot of executive earmarking that goes on, and in their earmark reform that President Bush has asked for would give him more authority, basically the full authority to do earmarking and take it away from Congress.
Well, and Faz, a little bit lower down on Think Progress, there's an item here posted yesterday that Citizens Against Government Waste released their new pig book, a database of earmarks, and John Murtha is no longer number one. he loses out to Roger Wicker of Mississippi, who just moved up to the U.S. Senate, and Representative Bill Young of Florida. They scored about $170 million worth of earmarks, and Murtha's only doing $160. But in the Senate, the top three porkers are Republicans, Thad Cochran, Ted Stevens, and Richard Shelby of Alabama.
It's a cultural thing. You know, it's very difficult to get conservatives who have been operating in the K Street project and have been engaged in K Street corruption for a decade running now to get them off of their bad habits.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And Barack Obama is either crazy or courageous, because he unilaterally released a list of his earmarks, I think, from the last couple of years, including one that's a little embarrassing because it was a grant to the public hospital in Chicago where his wife Michelle works. Now, it didn't go into her department, but it is one of those things that's an apparent conflict of interest. And so I give him credit for trying to, kind of pull the screen back from the whole earmark process and even, getting himself dinged a couple of times in the process.
Yeah, no, I think, as I was saying earlier, I think that's the first right step, is the increased transparency. And then hopefully the public will actually give a damn, and follow up on that information and put some heat to their public officials and say, we didn't like this one or we did like that one. And that's the way I think you start to get some accountability in the system.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a real whopper. This is at the top of Think Progress right now. Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina and a big John McCain booster. He was there when Joe Lieberman whispered the truth to McCain in Iraq a couple of weeks ago. And now he's trying to burnish John McCain's record on climate change. Quote from Graham, climate change is the road less traveled, but he's traveled it even more than Al Gore. Al Gore has talked about it and deserves great recognition, but he was around here a long time and never introduced a bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd and it's ridiculous to now, I mean, the McCain campaign has now gotten to the point where they're claiming they're better than Al Gore in global warming. Al Gore was the first senator to lead congressional hearings on climate change to begin with, and this was way back in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, of course, we all know about his exploits and driving attention to this issue and winning an Oscar and the Nobel for all his efforts.
Yeah. That is a whopper.
I mean, they'll say anything, as long as it sticks with the media and as long as it fits the maverick mold. Apparently, you're allowed to say anything about John McCain because the media will believe it.
Well, they ought to be consistent, though. If they're going to claim that McCain's better on global warming, what about the love canal, the internet, and love story? Maybe Senator Graham can get back to us on that. We're going to take a break and continue with Faz Shakir. If you got a question or comment, call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we continue, we'll talk about Bush and his worldwide tour, inviting everybody into NATO. Well, I guess Cuba and Russia aren't invited. That's ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
Well, this Friday, April 4th, it's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
And I don't just sleep in my car. I wake up in the neighborhood of my choice.
Along with comedian Bent Washburn.
I love the prospect of a mountain lion eating a billionaire. There's just something fair about that.
Ukulele Dick. The great Morgani.
Dr. Rupert Opie.
Simone Cox.
They let the players out!
Chris Magyar, Zach Friend, all comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save $5!
At Streetlight Records and Gateway's Books.
They won't let you spray for people.
That's this Friday, April 4th at 8 p.m. at the Columba in Santa Cruz.
Planet Cruz.
You're gonna laugh your glutes off.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
There is just one moon and one golden sun, and the smile means friendship to everyone. Though the mountains divide and the oceans are wide, it's a small world after all.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Disney theme parks are taking heat because the small world attraction has seen the addition of branded Disney characters.
It's a small, small world.
And I'm not too upset by that. But I chose this music for the moment as we continue with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. The progress report today is all about Bush's tour of Europe and Russia and a few other choice destinations as he pumps up his legacy and works on expanding NATO. And Faz, help me out here to the extent you can. I'm reading from the progress report here. Bush has indicated he intends to push for NATO enlargement as one element of his foreign policy legacy. He stated, NATO should welcome Georgia and Ukraine into the membership action plan, and NATO membership must remain open to all of Europe's democracies that seek it and are ready to share in the responsibilities of NATO membership. He went on to say NATO is no longer a static alliance focused on defending Europe from a Soviet tank invasion. It is now an expeditionary alliance that is sending its forces across the world to help secure a future of freedom and peace for millions. Now, this is an expansive vision thing that his father was never able to quite wrap himself around. But does it make any sense, Faz? I mean, if everybody belongs to NATO, what's the purpose of NATO?
Well, it's not everybody. It's certainly a lot of the European countries right now. It's really being used to mobilize against Russia, which Russia understands is concerned about. But the other aspect of this is not just using NATO to combat Russia, but also expanding NATO to include as many countries as possible who can contribute troops, which would then be obligated to provide those troops in Afghanistan. In places that would be NATO authorized zones. So I think that's the other element going on here, is that conservatives have been constantly calling for expanding NATO and expanding some of our treaty states because they'd like to use the troops.
Yeah, but aren't they going to buck up against the same objections that Jesse Helms and the other nuts had to any kind of UN peacekeeping force, that will never permit American soldiers to serve under someone else's command? And isn't that what happens at NATO?
Well, I think that is a big fear. I don't know if you saw the speech that McCain delivered a couple weeks ago now, where he talked about a League of Democracies.
Yeah.
He wanted to create a League of Democracies.
And, well, was Woodrow Wilson appear to him in a dream?
Exactly. But he's got a very different mission in mind, which is to put together a NATO-like coalition that would have troops that are at the ready to be deployed under U.S. command. So it solves that problem that you're now raising, which is how do you get American troops operating under other people's commands? Or isn't there a fear of that? Well, now under the League of Democracies of John McCain, you would actually have them all operating under our command.
And no powder blue helmets ever, right?
That's right. No, not peacekeeping. This is combat.
Very interesting. And you can read more about it in Progress Report. Log on to progressreport.org. And if you give them your email, they'll send it to you every day. It's a great deal. Absolutely free. Faz, in our next segment, we're going to talk with a gentleman from Notre Dame, Doug Castle, at the law school there, about John Yoo's torture memo.
Yeah.
And I know you got a law degree, and I know you care about these issues. Have you been able to wade through the 81-page John Yoo torture memo?
Yeah, I've been waking my way through it, and it's amazing. You remember back to the context of when the memo was written, and it was incredible that the first response of those in the Justice Department was that let's put the Constitution aside because national security is so important. It was as if they had forgotten the lesson of the framers, which was the Constitution was created to be enacted during emergencies and during crises. That's what was the operating premise of the document itself. And in fact, you know, if you look at Yoo's memos arguing that in such a time of national crisis, the Constitution was to be set aside, in essence. The Fourth Amendment should be tossed aside. They're operating in a very different world.
Do you get the impression that John Yoo thought he was advising a member of royalty or a dictator?
You do get that feeling. That certainly he would like the powers that are applicable to dictators. Yeah.
I mean, the whole purpose of the memo was to wiggle around the Constitution and also to wiggle around lawyers at the Defense Department who had very strong positions in opposition to any divergence from the Geneva Conventions, any watering down of the Army Field Manual.
Yeah, and it was also to ensure that people like the Vice President and a small sliver of people who thought like him would be able to ram through their own thinking without having it be watered down or challenged or confronted with opinions of those who might disagree.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we're going to pursue that further. Thank you for your comment, Faz, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. As we mentioned, next we'll talk about the John Yoo torture memo with Doug Castle from Notre Dame. Mr. Castle debated John Yoo a couple of years ago about these issues. We got a clip for you we'll play. That's all ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Mm-hmm. progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. 27 years ago, when the Smithsonian Institution erected a Tower of Time in its Museum of Natural History in Washington to show the different stages of prehistoric time, the lettering on the tower identified the Precambrian as an era. Well, that's not right, and some of the staff of the paleobiology department noticed it and mentioned it, but the museum officials didn't think it was important enough to go to the trouble of changing it. They probably thought nobody would notice, and they were right. For 27 years, since 1981, millions of people have looked at the Time Tower, and not one of them noticed until Kenton Stufflebeam came along. Kenton Stufflebeam, a fifth grader at the Alamo Elementary School near Kalamazoo, was on a winter break trip with his family, and he pointed at the Precambrian era sign and said, "Look, they made a mistake. The Precambrian isn't an era." The jig was up. All was discovered. What happened then, after this?
Tell me what you want.
Dell has people talking, like the customer who wrote exactly what small businesses have needed for years. Need savings too? Take $250 off on a select Dell Vostro desktop with a 20-inch widescreen flat panel monitor featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only. Subject to change.
Hey, Mom, is this what you're looking for?
Tiger Balm. Yes, perfect. Keeps your father off the IR.
IR?
Injured reserve. Tiger Balm keeps his muscles loose and pain-free.
So he can play basketball and run.
And do the yard work.
I don't think he knows about that.
Oh, he will.
Tiger Balm ointments, rubs, and patches give long-lasting relief to you or someone you care about. Got pain? Get Tiger Balm today. Available in stores everywhere. Tiger Balm works where it hurts.
Kenton Stufflebeam's father, Kevin Stufflebeam, took his son to the museum's information desk to give them some information. Kenton filled out a complaint form saying that his science teacher, Mr. Chapman, had taught him that Precambrian was not an era. Well, last week, a letter from the museum came to the Stufflebeam family home in Allegan, Michigan, misaddressed to Allegheny, Michigan. And they got Kenton Stufflebeam's name wrong, too. "Dear Mr. Stufflebeam," the letter read, "your observation is spot on. The Precambrian is a dimensionless unit of time which embraces all the time between the origin of Earth and the beginning of the Cambrian period of geologic time." The note went on to thank Kenton for pointing this out and saying the solution was not going to involve advanced science, but rather simply painting over the word era. So accuracy prevails. Let's hear it for Kenton Stufflebeam. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got to thank the American Civil Liberties Union once again for coming to the rescue of our constitutional rights and our rights to know. They forced the release of John Yoo's 81-page torture memo, and it came out yesterday.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow.
Yeah, don't worry about the torture. The people at Guantanamo are not like us. You don't have to worry. Well, of course, that's not quite true, because the Military Commissions Act could be applied to an American citizen just declared an unlawful enemy combatant. That's about all it takes. Joining us right now to talk about John Yoo's memo and give us some reaction is Doug Castle. He is at Notre Dame's Law School, where he is director of the Center for Civil and Human Rights. Professor Castle, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And I will not be as tough as the debate you had with John Yoo a few years ago. I don't have a law degree. But I am very passionate about our constitutional rights and, by extension, the rights of those who we have detained in the current escapades ranging from the war in Iraq to Bush's so-called war on terror. And I think that we have lived through some very dark days in American history, and I don't believe they are behind us yet. While the John Yoo memo was only in effect for about 9 months, we know that the tone that it set and the freedom that it gave to interrogators at specifically Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay did lead to these enhanced interrogation techniques that I flatly believe are torture. And I'd like to get your reaction to the efforts to get the memo released and the work of the ACLU. Are you pleased that we are finally seeing the original document?
Well, it's high time, but we have to recall that this particular John Yoo memo relating to use of torture by the military is in many respects a Xerox copy of the earlier John memo authorizing torture by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
That memo was originally issued in August of 2002. It was kept secret until June of 2004, after Abu Ghraib became public with the videos and photos of torture. And at that point, the new legal counsel within the Justice Department, namely Jack Goldsmith, who's now a law professor at Harvard, did something that's, as far as I know, unprecedented, at least in the recent history of the Justice Department, and that is for the Justice Department within the very same presidential administration to revoke a formal legal opinion and replace it with another, which occurred later that year in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been almost 5.5 years now, almost 6 years really, since the first of these two John Yoo memos, the CIA torture memo, was penned. It's been a few years since it was revoked, but we're, as you point out, we're not out of the woods yet, because as I'm sure you know, and many of the listeners would know, the Democrats in Congress recently this year tried to get past a bill that would extend to the CIA the limitations on interrogation techniques that are now in the Army Field Manual and that prevent the military legally from engaging in torture. Democrats managed to pass that in Congress by a majority of both houses, but the president vetoed it. And when an effort was made to override the veto on pretty much a party-line vote, the Republicans stuck with the president, almost all of them.
Including John McCain.
Including John McCain, and the result was that the veto was not overridden, and so the CIA is still subject only to very vague guidelines, which people like John Yoo can interpret to prohibit torture, to permit torture, excuse me.
Yes, and Professor, just a quick digression here. The Central Intelligence Agency has revealed that it did waterboard three individuals, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, that there were videotapes of those interrogations, extensive videotaping, as many as 100 hours in at least one of those cases, and they cannot find those tapes. They may have been destroyed. But two questions surface for me. One is that they have alleged that they haven't waterboarded anybody since that time, and they want us to believe that only those three individuals were subjected to this kind of torture that goes back to the Spanish Inquisition. Yet we learned just this past Sunday of another case of a man who was purely innocent of any of the charges that he was detained for, a German tourist who had gone to Pakistan to study Islam, who got sold by a bounty hunter into U.S. custody and was taken to Afghanistan, where he was subjected to various types of torture, including having his head dunked in water and then having a fist drummed into his stomach so that he would inhale and ingest the water. That makes him at least the fourth, if not the 44th or the 444th individual who was subjected to these kinds of torture explicitly, including waterboarding. So we cannot believe the representations that have recently been made that these types of torture are a thing of the past.
Well, particularly when there's nothing in the law that prohibits it. The law does prohibit the CIA from engaging in torture, but we all recall that when Attorney General Mukasey was asked during his confirmation hearings and afterward, is waterboarding torture, he said he couldn't answer that question. So if the Attorney General can't give a yes answer to that question, one cannot assume that the CIA deems waterboarding to be torture. But you don't have to get, if you will, sophisticated into techniques of simulated drowning to constitute torture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you or any of the listeners have yet had a chance to see this year's Oscar-winning feature documentary film, Taxi to the Dark Side.
I know about it, but I haven't seen it.
By Alex Gibney.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the whole history of U.S. torture since 9/11, and it focuses on an Afghan taxi driver, hence the name, Taxi to the Dark Side, by the name of Dilawar, who was picked up in Afghanistan by the U.S. military back in 2002, I believe it was brought to Bagram Air Base, where he was hung from his ankle, from his wrists. His wrists were over his head, attached to wires, which in turn were attached to metal grates on the top of the cell so that he could not sit. He was forced that way to stand for about 48 hours. While he was in that position, hung from his wrists all that time, the army guards, the military guards who were in charge of him, kept rotating. Each one would come in and give him the authorized technique, which would be knee blows to his legs. And then the next guard would come in, not knowing what the one before him had done, and do it again. After a while, Dilawar started complaining and yelling, and the guards, in order to shut him up, would knee him again on the legs. After 2 days, he died from being kneed to death. And the army, the military physician who did the autopsy, said that his legs had been basically turned into vegetables by this simple, very simple technique of repeatedly kneeing him in the legs. And when you see the film, you can see what little is left of the legs on the corpse of Dilawar after he's been subjected to this treatment. So waterboarding is an important issue, but we have to remember that torture can take any form. Torture is simply the deliberate infliction of severe pain on a person for purposes of interrogation, punishment, intimidation, or any other of the sorts of purposes that interrogators might have.
We're talking with Doug Castle at the Notre Dame Law School, director of the Center of Civil and Human Rights. He's with us till the top of the hour. If you have a question or a comment, call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Professor, the other thing that surfaced in the remarks earlier this year of General Hayden about how, you know, these types of torture are all in the past is that he indicated that at Bagram, when these techniques were being used on detainees, that each technique was approved by a cable from Washington. And this raises the larger question about used torture memo and these issues in general, and that is, how high up in the chain of command was the approval for these illegal procedures? And to what extent did they preserve deniability for the president by trying to limit it at, say, the Rumsfeld level? But, you know, what I'm really interested in is accountability here, and I believe the American people deserve to know who explicitly authorized the use of these techniques.
Well, we can work our way partway up the chain of command, but we don't know how high it goes because that information has never been disclosed. The John Yoo memo was actually the original John Yoo memo to the CIA in August of 2002 was addressed to the president's counsel, then counsel Alberto Gonzalez, later, of course, attorney general. But at that time, he was the president's counsel. So the recipient was the chief lawyer in the White House. The sender was officially, the name was Stephen Bybee, because he at that time was the head of the Office of Legal Counsel, mm-hmm. even though John Yoo has acknowledged, and we now know, that it was Yoo who wrote the memo, but Bybee signed it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Office of Legal Counsel for this purpose is about as high as you can get in the Justice Department, because the particular role of the Office of Legal Counsel is to give advice to the federal government and to federal agencies as to what they may lawfully do. An opinion of the Office of Legal Counsel is legally authoritative within the executive branch. It's not like just any old federal lawyer or even a Justice Department lawyer giving you an opinion. This is basically the lawyer for the federal government telling them what they can and cannot do. So already, if you look both at the recipient and the sender of this memo, we're pretty high up. Did George Bush know about this? Did he sign off on it? Did his lawyer, Alberto Gonzalez, discuss this with the president before authorizing the techniques that you had authorized? Or did Gonzalez seek to protect the president by not telling him? We don't know the answer to that question. If it was done orally, we may never know the answer to that question. If it was in writing and was not destroyed, perhaps an email or a letter or a memo or something from Gonzalez to his client, the president, we may find out about it sometime far down the road mm-hmm. when those documents are declassified.
That's Professor Doug Castle at Notre Dame's Law School. And for our listeners, I want to direct you to consortiumnews.com. Our colleague Jason Leopold has posted today an article called Building a Legal Framework for Torture. And he takes us back to January of 2003 when Rumsfeld instructed Mary Walker, the Air Force General Counsel, to convene a working group. Quote, establish a working group within the Department of Defense to assess the legal, policy, and operational issues relating to the interrogation of detainees held by the U.S. Armed Forces in the War on Terrorism. So I think that is an interesting marker in the same vein. Professor, we're going to take a break and continue. When we come back, I've got a clip, it's a brief clip, of a debate that you were involved with opposite John Yoo back in 2005, and I'll ask you to explain a little bit about what the exchange was about. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available if you want to chime in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Your calls are subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency, looking for keywords like Osama.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Sun Street Center knows many people have had a DUI. It doesn't mean you're an alcoholic, but it does mean you have to complete the state requirements and clear up your driving record. The DUI classes at Sun Street Centers is part of that process. Sun Street will work with you and set up a payment plan. Stop looking over your shoulder when you drive. Just get it done. Call Sun Street Centers today, 753-5135. They're state licensed in Salinas, Seaside, and King City. Call 753-5135 for DUI classes at Sun Street.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. We continue our discussion about John Yoo's torture memo released just yesterday. And Doug Castle is with us from Notre Dame's Law School, the Center for Civil and Human Rights. And, Professor, the torture policy started with a torture of the Constitution and a tortuous language used to redefine the meaning of torture so that Bush could say, oh, we don't torture. And you had an interesting exchange with John Yoo. I have a brief clip of it from a debate that you engaged in back in 2005. Tell us a little bit about this and then set up the clip. It's about the discussion about crushing the testicles of a detainee's child.
Well, one of the points that Yoo made in his August 2002 memo that was not later abandoned or repudiated by the Justice Department when they pulled the memo and replaced it with another, was his claim that the president's powers as commander-in-chief during wartime give him the constitutional right to trump every legal barrier to whatever it is the president wants to do or thinks he needs to do in order to win a war. So if there is a law against torture, you wrote in the memo, the president's constitutional powers can override a law passed by Congress. If there's a treaty prohibiting torture, which there is, and the U.S. is a party to it, the president's constitutional powers as commander-in-chief, according to John Yoo, can override the treaty. Presumably, if there's a Supreme Court decision, Yoo's theory would be the same. The commander-in-chief power trumps everything. That legal theory is frightening because if we are in what the president calls a war against terror, a war that could last for decades, and if you combine that with Yoo's theory that in a war the president can do pretty much whatever he wants and nobody can legally stop him, we've just anointed the president king or dictator for life if he chooses to exercise the powers that John Yoo claims he has. So I decided in the debate with John Yoo, which was sponsored by what was then called the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations, it's now the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, in downtown Chicago before a couple of hundred people, I decided to see how far John Yoo would take it. And I began by asking him, could the president authorize torture of a suspect? And his answer was yes. And then I decided to see how far that would extend in terms of authorizing the president, if the suspect did not talk, to then torture the suspect's little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the clip that I imagine you're about to play contains John Yoo's answer to that line of inquiry on my part.
I'd like listeners to turn up the dial a little bit. Listen carefully here, and I'm going to play this twice so that you can hear the exchange. They talk over each other just a little bit, and it's Professor Castle whose voice you'll hear first.
If the president deems that he's got to torture somebody, including by crushing the testicles of the person's child, there is no law that can stop that.
No treaty.
No, and also no law by Congress. That's what you wrote in the August 2002 memo.
I think it depends on why the president thinks he needs to do that.
Okay, so John, you offering a situational ethics kind of answer here, and let's listen again so you can catch it.
If the president deems that he's got to torture somebody, including by crushing the testicles of the person's child, there is no law that can stop that.
No treaty.
No treaty.
No, and also no law by Congress. That's what you wrote in the August 2002 memo.
I think it depends on why the president thinks he needs to do that.
So John Yoo has an incredible sense of presidential power. I mean, that comes through loud and clear, Doug.
It does. In fairness to John Yoo, who, by the way, when you meet him, is the nicest guy in the world, he would not accept the characterization that he was engaged in situational ethics, because he was stressing in that debate that his role as a lawyer was not to tell the president what was ethical or moral, but merely to tell the president what, in John Yoo's opinion, was legal. So when you said that the president could order the crushing of the testicles of the child of the suspect in order to get the suspect to talk, he was saying that the president has the legal power to do that. He was not saying that it was the right, the moral, or the ethical thing to do. And the other point in fairness to John Yoo is that that debate was supposed to be entirely off the record. It turned out that someone in the audience surreptitiously tape-recorded it and put that clip on the Internet. I would have honored my commitment to John Yoo at the time to keep what he had to say confidential, but once it's out in the world, as it has been now for several years, I have felt free to confirm that, in fact, that exchange took place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I appreciate that context. And Professor, from your point of view, certainly the Supreme Court has ruled in a couple of cases that the president does not have a blank check, does not have absolute power. But there's a lot of gray area between the Supreme Court rulings and the actions of this administration. Ultimately, do you believe that Bush will be found guilty of war crimes with these intentional violations of the Geneva Conventions? Because the Geneva Conventions language is very clear that it, by extension, becomes the statutory regime in the nations that sign on to the Geneva Conventions. So as an amateur here, I have to ask, will we ever see these people brought to justice?
Well, there are a number of problems. Let's start with the investigations. After Abu Ghraib, the military commissioned at least nine major, highly publicized investigations by generals and auditors that we know of about how it was that Abu Ghraib happened. What all of those investigations have in common is they always look down and not up. They ended up pointing the fingers at low-ranking people down on the ground in Iraq, but they never conducted never even took a serious look at Donald Rumsfeld or at his civilian aides in the Pentagon. They certainly never looked at Vice President Cheney and his aides or at George Bush and his aides. So we do not have an investigative record that, of course, would be very important for purposes of a prosecution. We don't have direct evidence in the public record, as far as I'm aware, for example, that President Bush, at the time that John Yoo's memo was issued, gave it his stamp of approval, or whether his underlings deliberately protected him by pretending not to tell him about it, even though he almost certainly would have known informally. Yeah.
Professor, our time is up, but I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate your commentary, and thank you for fighting for the Constitution.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. That's Professor Doug Castle at Notre Dame's Law School Civil and Human Rights Center. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines, that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered, to my extreme surprise, that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Defending the rescue of Bear Stearns.
The damage caused by default by Bear Stearns could have been severe and extremely difficult to contain.
FAA whistleblowers on Capitol Hill.
For me, safety comes first and my job second.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The head of the Federal Reserve was back on Capitol Hill today, facing some fire for his decision to prop up a Wall Street investment bank. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Called in to explain the extraordinary action in using $30 billion of public money to prevent Bear Stearns from going bankrupt, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said letting the investment firm fail could have caused serious economic damage.
We felt that given the context, given the fact that financial conditions are already creating a slowdown in our economy, the risk was too great.
Kentucky Republican Senator Jim Bunning said they shouldn't have done it.
That is socialism.
Most senators on the committee were supportive of the Fed's emergency actions, but many Democrats complained equal effort should now be made to help the thousands of families losing their homes to foreclosure every day. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Most of us are worried about the economy.
78% of Americans tell us that they think the economy is in bad condition. Just 21% say it's in good shape.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic on the latest CBS News New York Times poll. Only 14% of those surveyed said the country is on the right track. That's the lowest number since CBS News started asking the question 25 years ago. Now this.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Hummer knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Good Wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Hummer Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Good Wrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Like everyone, I have a medical history, but unlike most people's, mine is always working for me.
Aetna's personal health record provides our members with secure, anytime access to their medical histories. It automatically scans test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions, and compares them to the latest medical findings.
It alerted me to important information I shared with my doctors.
We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. The Aetna personal health record should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's health conditions or medical treatments. Available information on test diagnoses and prescriptions may vary by member.
The recent review of airline maintenance records, in some cases grounding planes for overdue inspections, was prompted by two employees of the Federal Aviation Administration who exposed maintenance problems at Southwest Airlines. They appeared at a House hearing today.
It didn't have to come to this, or maybe it did.
FAA Inspector Douglas Peters teared up when he told of a supervisor's warning.
On his way out the door, he made the following statement. You have a good job here, and your wife has a good job over at the Dallas FISDO. I'd hate to see you jeopardize yours and hers career trying to take down a couple of losers.
He and another Southwest inspector, Bobby Boutrous, say the safety of the flying public is at risk.
It is very sad that an FAA inspector has to become a whistleblower in order to address safety issues.
He said ignoring missed safety inspections should be criminal activity. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
ATA, at one time the country's 10th largest airline, abruptly canceled service today after declaring bankruptcy. Many passengers, like these people in Los Angeles, found out when they got to the airport.
Very frustrated, very discouraged and let down, and you know, but yet we still want to try and go on our vacation.
Southwest says it's trying to accommodate people booked on ATA flights. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is putting new pressure on Hillary Clinton, who trails Barack Obama in the delegate count. Pelosi says Clinton should not expect superdelegates to change that.
The will of the people must be respected in this election.
The senator shows no sign of dropping out.
I have consistently made the case that I can win because I believe I can win. And you know, sometimes people draw the conclusion I'm saying somebody else can't win.
Clinton raised $20 million in March. Obama took in $40 million. The volunteer fire department in Brockway, Pennsylvania, had a really bad one this morning.
It's tough. It's hard. 10 people. At one time.
Chris Benson is the fire chief. He became emotional as he talked about the pre-dawn fire that engulfed a house, killing 10 people, most of them children. The neighbors are stunned.
It's bad enough to lose an adult, but when there's so many children involved, that's a terrible thing.
The heat was so intense that it melted the siding on a house nearby. President Bush has NATO's backing for a plan to build a missile defense system in Europe. That's one of the outcomes of the summit in Bucharest. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Got a job to do around your home? Your neighborhood Ace Hardware is ready with expert help and friendly advice. Buy a 15-pound bag of Ace Brand Lawn Fertilizer for $8.99 and get a $3 rebate. Or buy an Ace Broadcast Spreader for $24.99 and get a $5 rebate. Use your Ace Rewards card for double points on select Ace Brand and Scott's Fertilizer. Sale ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax limits.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Every week about this time, we set aside an hour to talk about military and veterans issues with somebody who knows more about that stuff than I do, and Scott Dick is that lucky guy. He served in the Marine Corps, retired from the Army at the rank of Major. He was there in Tuzla, Bosnia, as we have discussed recently. And now he is comfortably retired in Monterey, California, where he dabbles in talk radio, too. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Peter. I got my dabbles all ready for you.
Yeah, you all dabbled up?
I am indeed.
Well, let's dabble down into quite a few stories here today. Let's start off with Doug Feith, because we just completed a conversation with Professor Doug Castle from Notre Dame about the John Yoo torture memo. And we learned, by the way, if you read... Jason Leopold's piece that's up at consortiumnews.com right now, you will learn that Doug Feith was part of the panel at the Pentagon that helped develop the torture memo for the military. There had been one that John Yoo wrote earlier for the CIA, And then the Pentagon had one that they were developing at the time that John Yoo completed his second memo. And it was kind of an end run on the folks over there at DOD. But as we're looking at thinkprogress.org, we have a power quote from Doug Feith, who, as we mentioned, was part of that panel. And he's now teaching political science or something over at Georgetown. But when he was asked about torture and America's moral authority, this is a quote, and we have to clean it up a little bit for broadcast. He said, "I was really a player," Feith, thinking back on 2002 and relishing the memory. He was asked whether in the end he was at all concerned that the Geneva decision might have diminished America's moral authority, but he wasn't. "The problem with moral authority," he said, "was people who should know better, like yourself, siding with the a-holes, to put it crudely." And so that's a pretty interesting us versus them divide, isn't it, Scott?
Oh, it's breathtaking. Here we have another a-hole who's never spent a day in a uniform jeopardizing our military men and women all over the planet 24/7 just because he's taken that. You know, I guess the people that feel that John McCain is a hero because he was tortured when he was in Hanoi are a bunch of a-holes.
Well,
I mean, if you logically extend it, Peter, that's I guess that's what he's saying, that John McCain and the people that were, you know, concerned that he was tortured are a bunch of a-holes.
Everybody's got one, but not everybody is one.
Exactly.
Well, it is amazing to see the self-righteous arrogance of these people. Professor Castle told us that John Yoo is a delightful individual in person. But the memo that he wrote, the arguments that he advanced, are purely barbaric. They're un-American. They're hardly evolved. And they also don't work. You know, that's the thing. If all of this stuff made sense beyond, a drama like 24, we might be able to rationalize it. But it doesn't work, yet they have this deep, almost religious belief, Scott, that torture does work and that it can be rationalized under our current circumstances.
That's because they read it in some storybook somewhere. They're living in this fictional world of, oh, torture must be okay because it works. And they're not listening to anybody else because, Peter, you can't spell pompous windbag without neocon. And so the arrogance is beyond the pale. I wouldn't say beyond the belief, because we have to believe, because we're seeing it in a bunch of people, starting from Cheney, go to Bush, go all the way down. Listen to Wolfowitz or Feith or any of these other characters talk about America, a land of the free, home of the brave. Well, except, you know, some things we're just going to ignore, like our treaties. Mm-hmm. And decency and the taking care of our troops by not torturing prisoners. And here's one more thing, Peter, that really irks me. There is no war. The president has no special powers. So chew on that for a second.
Well, I agree with you. There was no war declared, and the authorization to use military force against Saddam Hussein and Iraq, in my view, is not nearly as sweeping as Bush, Cheney, and David Addington want us to believe.
So the whole sort of hypothetical, yes, in a war the president may have sweeping powers, but first there's a whole condition. We're talking about the assumption. See, this was made on the assumption that the country is involved in a war. And that's not just some loose term that people throw around. Oh, the war on drugs, the war on, you know, this, the war on that, the war on poverty. This is not some word that just gets thrown around. This is a technical term. It's a legal term. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that a Congress has to actually declare war. That's reserved for them in the Constitution.
So, oh, Scott, that's based on the Constitution, and that's just a goddamn piece of paper. That's a quote from Bush.
Yeah, so for us to think that, I mean, we're playing into the Republican neocon frame, especially the Republican and the conservative ultra-right-wing Christian frame, that this is a war, therefore. And then they just fill in all the blanks that you want to fill in. And mm-hmm. We have to take it back and say, first of all, there is no war. There's a conflict. There's definitely an occupation. But arguing that the president has unlimited powers because we're in a war is a total specious argument. It's smoke and mirrors. It's distract people with, we're at war. No, we're not. We're definitely not at war. And you can look at 10 different metrics, Peter, and tell that we're not at war.
I agree, Scott. I like it when you put it so powerfully. Scott Dick is with us this entire hour, so give us a call if you want to chime in, join the conversation, agree or disagree. Toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, on this program recently, we've been trying to keep up with John McCain's bio-charm offensive. And that's not bio as in bioweapons, it's bio as in biography.
Or bio-sleep.
And he's been trying to, recreate an image and burnish his past as part of the presidential campaign. But we keep butting into reality that conflicts with John McCain's expressions of it. And I've got a clip here that we can play in just a second. But as we know, when John McCain went to Baghdad during the Easter congressional recess, he was there at the same time Dick Cheney was. And he, on four different occasions on that same trip, misstated or just lied by saying that Al-Qaeda individuals were going from Iraq into Iran, where they were getting supplies and training, then coming back into Iraq to cause mayhem for American and Iraqi troops. Well, Joe Lieberman caught him at one point, and we've seen it on camera where Lieberman corrects him, and McCain says, oh, yeah, it's extremists, it's terrorists, it's not Al-Qaeda. Well, now we have the interesting comment here from John McCain that he agrees with Petraeus and bin Laden on this issue. Let's listen to McCain's comment, and then we will comment on it.
Republican nominee for president.
And this is Keith Olbermann introducing
it. Who says he is on the same side of any issue as is Osama bin Laden. Not exactly how one might have expected the death toll milestone in the campaign trail to merge on the campaign trail today. But Senator John McCain telling a group of vets in Chula Vista, California, that he and the leader of Al-Qaeda and General Petraeus are all in agreement when it comes to the venue of the primary fight in the so-called war on terror.
For the first time, I have seen Osama bin Laden and General Petraeus in agreement. And that is the central battleground in the battle against Al-Qaeda is in Iraq today. And that's what bin Laden is saying, and that's what General Petraeus is saying, and that's what I'm saying.
So what's wrong with what they're saying, Scott?
Well, it's ridiculous at its surface, and it's the farther you dig into it, the more ridiculous it becomes. So just because Osama bin Laden says that Iraq is the central fight for Al-Qaeda doesn't make it so any more than Bush saying it or Cheney saying it or Doug Feist saying it or anybody, Petraeus or McCain. Just because they declare that's where the fight is doesn't mean that's where the fight is. To me, the central fight, the front of the fight against Al-Qaeda should be their home headquarters. Why are we attacking branches and subsidiaries? We should be attacking the home headquarters, which is in Afghanistan and in eastern Pakistan. This is ridiculous. Of course Osama bin Laden is going to point the finger at, like, branch number 57 or 203. I mean, they're like Starbucks. They're cropping up all over the place. It's ridiculous. And the idea that we're in a war in Iraq, you can just look at, like I said, Peter, we could pick 10 metrics, and just gauging the blank footing of the United States, the war footing of the United States, proves to anybody who scratches the surface that we're not at war.
Well, yes, you can. And, Scott, this is interesting, too, because McCain has repeatedly claimed that Iran and Al-Qaeda are somehow working together. And Ayman al-Zawahiri, who is, of course, the number two to Osama, he is a medical doctor originally from Egypt. Here's a quote from his recent cassette tape that's been passed around. The dispute between America and Iran is a real dispute based on the struggle over areas of influence. As for what might happen in the region, I can only say that major changes will occur in the region and the situation will be in the interest of us, the Mujahideen, if the war saps both of them. If, however, one of them emerges victorious, its influence will intensify and fierce battles will begin between it and the Mujahideen. So what he's saying is that, in their view, Iran and the United States are equally demons.
Right. We're you know, co-targets. And Peter, what makes this so frustrating is not only does McCain paint himself as a national security policy expert and a foreign policy expert, but the media is just blindly mouthing these platitudes, well, McCain has this national security. He doesn't know the basic players. He can't get past what he gets from a 15-minute PowerPoint presentation, a pre-briefing before he goes in public. If he was what he said he was, he would be able to spout off without any rehearsal, without any coaching from Joe Lieberman, from anybody else, exactly who the players are, who the personality are. Have you ever heard him mention Al Sistani at all?
No.
No, of course not. Because he didn't even know who he is.
Well, I haven't heard him mention Muqtada al-Sadr either.
No, because it's probably way too hard for him to say. So the idea that he's some kind of expert in this region is ridiculous.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. You got a comment? We want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. As we continue, we're going to talk about how surprised U.S. commanders were about Iraq's foray into Basra last week. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. I will start you off with a problem in Castroville right now, westbound 156 at Highway 1. Car and a utility truck involved. That is tying up the left-hand lane, although CHP is on the scene trying to move that out of the way. Look for delays as you approach the area. For Seaside, southbound Highway 1 at the Fort Ord main gate, getting reports of a stall. That's tying up the left-hand lane there, and you will see heavy traffic, of course. For Scotts Valley, southbound 17 at Mount Hermon Road, CHP reporting a truck lost several boxes in the lanes. The truck is still moving, so we have a pretty big stretch of area where there's lots of boxes scattered about. We have cars swerving to avoid all that. Northbound 17 before Bear Creek, some bricks. That's reportedly in the right-hand lane. But the good news for 17, no stalls, no accidents. Of course, a little bit of heavy traffic once you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz. This report is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, if you're big and tall, get to the men's store inside JCPenney. You'll find great deals on all the brands you know and trust. It's big and tall made easy. JCPenney.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hanger One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Asking the question.
Darling, you've got to let me know.
Should I stay or should I go?
Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
We continue our discussion of military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. Lines are open if you want to join us at 888-5-PETER-B. If you're listening on the weekend in Portland or elsewhere, you can email peter at peterbcollins.com. Scott, next up, I want to talk about the events in Basra in southern Iraq last week. And I was caught by surprise, and now it appears that the CENTCOM commanders and Ambassador Crocker in Baghdad were also caught by surprise. Here's Crocker quoted in the New York Times on Thursday. The sense we had was that this would be a long-term effort, increased pressure gradually squeezing the special groups. He's referring to the militias. He said, that is not what kind of emerged. Nothing was in place from our side, he added. It all had to be put together. Now, this kind of flies in the face of what we think about Maliki being a puppet of the Americans, and that any kind of a big move like this would have been promoted by Dick Cheney when he was there on his peace mission 2 weeks ago, and would have had the full support and knowledge of American commanders. Scott?
Well, first I want to point out how we're already beginning to change the dialogue, the definitions, the verbiage, the players. We noticed this time, last week, Peter, was the first time that people start describing the gunmen in Iraq as not only criminals, but as the mafia. And now we have special groups. No longer are they terrorists or insurgents or extreme Muslim extremists or Islamofascists.
Good point.
They've been reconfigured now to be internal Iraqis, otherwise patriot, but they're also criminal gangs, I'm seeing. And that's what he was trying to wipe out. Or, since they have an upcoming parliamentary election coming up, and they may be trying to weaken Muqtada al-Sadr's group. So let's see, which one makes sense? Maliki finally grows a set and decides to take matters of national and public security in his own hands. Or it's an internecine battle, Iraqi on Iraqi, trying to make sure that he can't fudge the election results, but maybe he can kill a few voters first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my take on this. And that's based on some of the readings I've been doing where they're saying, this is not about public security. This is about one Shia political party going after another Shia political party. And that's why the Americans were left out of the loop.
Well, I think you're correct. And Professor Juan Cole was on with us earlier this week from the University of Michigan. His website's named after him, juancole.com. A lot of great information that he posts every day. And he said that this is really similar to turf battles between street gangs in L.A., the Crips and the Bloods and the Norteños. And he said that what we are seeing is the various factions vying for control of turf and the oil exports that flow through Basra. And Maliki, according to Professor Cole, has been irritated that the oil that starts off upstream just doesn't all make it out of the other end of that pipeline in Basra. It's all being, not all, but a lot of it's being stolen and diverted, and that this was the actual motivation that led him to deploy his forces and try to crack down.
Bah humbug. He's annoyed because it's less money for his Swiss bank account. That's my take on it. That's why he's annoyed that it's being stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, I don't like the gang warfare analogy. I prefer the Chinese violence during World War II, when we had Americans who separated the nationalist Chinese and the communist Chinese, and we armed and trained both sides. And in one famous battle being led by Joseph Stilwell, who's the commanding general of all forces there. The Nationalist Chinese made a direct left turn and attacked right into the Communist Chinese behind the American forces as they were on their way to make contact and destroy and engage and destroy the Japanese. So this is much more, I think, on that level,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, Maktar al-Sadi is very powerful, and he is going to be a force to reckon with. And, in fact, one of John McCain's advisors, believe it or not, Peter, the guy's name is Ralph Peters, and I went to OCS with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, the way, he tripped and hit his head and turned into a right-wing nut. He is actually in public written that we should kill, we should assassinate one of the top religious leaders in Iraq. We should kill Maktar al-Sadr.
Oh, great.
Isn't that wonderful? And, he's an informal national security policy advisor to John McCain.
All right, after our break, we're going to talk about who won this dust-up. It looks like Maktar al-Sadr. More in a moment. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. The Peter B. Collins Show with our guest, Scott Dick.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Must we have these hearings? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. April 2nd was Economic Groundhog Day. The somewhat furry head of the Federal Reserve was brought out into the light to see if he would predict 6 months of economic contraction, which is the definition of a you-know-what. And as a hush fell over the crowd, he said,
"It now appears likely that real gross domestic product will not grow much, if at all, over the first half of 2008, and could even contract slightly."
And the stock market instantly started sliding because that means... What does it mean exactly?
A recession is possible.
Aha! A recession is possible! A recession is possible. Well, what does that mean? When will we know if we're in a recession?
A recession is a technical term defined by the National Bureau of Economic Research, depending on data, which will be available quite a while from now.
I see. A recession is a tech... Wait a minute. So we won't actually know if we're in a recession until quite a while from now? And yet the stock market dropped at the mere hint of one? I guess because nothing frightens investors like the fear that other investors might be as frightened as they are. Okay, so the key would be not to frighten investors, which must be why Senator Schumer asked this question.
Do you believe the economy's contracting right now?
Our estimates are that we're slightly growing at the moment, but we think that there's a chance that for the first half as a whole, there might be a slight contraction.
He said that already! Why did you have to make him say it again? Can't we hear some positive news once in a while?
The surge is working.
Much better. Now this.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Did you know that GEICO can also help you with renter's insurance? I mean, look around at all the cool stuff you have. Sure, that big green sombrero you got on your vacation isn't exactly a family heirloom. And granted, you can probably do without that salad spinner, but everything else is pretty valuable. Call GEICO today to find out more about renter's insurance. Green sombreros notwithstanding, you've got a lot to protect.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I'm getting amped up. Going to see the boss, Bruce Springsteen, live in San Jose this Saturday night. Should be rocking. From the new CD called Magic, Who Will Be the Last to Die for a Mistake in Iraq. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Lines open if you want to chime in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Scott, this what Bush referred to as a defining moment, which is where Maliki sent Iraqi troops with a lot of backup from U.S. forces into Basra. And then Muqtada al-Sadr and some of his guys had a little meeting over the border in Iran. And then al-Sadr declared his own ceasefire with conditions that were accepted by Maliki. And the comparison to me here is not perfect, but it's similar to the way Israel faced off against Hezbollah in the summer of 2006. And while technically they didn't lose, they lost a lot of luster. They lost a lot of the sense of invincibility of the Israeli military. Now, I don't think Maliki was seen as invincible, but I think it showed just how weak his forces are. And in the way they turned over control of Sadr City in Baghdad to the Mahdi army, the forces of Muqtada al-Sadr, I would have to chalk this up in the win column for Muqtada himself.
I agree, and the if you go up several rungs on the ironic ladder, the irony ladder has the fact that this peace was brokered by none other than an Iranian general who is on two terrorist watch lists. Mm-hmm. Watch lists, and so it's beautiful when John McCain declares that if we leave Iraq, then we will turn Iraq over to Iran. Well, no, George Bush already did that.
Yes, he did.
He already did that, and so it's a specious argument, and the fact that we have Iranian general, not an American general, negotiating a peace treaty, a truce between Maliki and Muqtada al-Sadr, but an Iranian. Isn't that special, Peter?
It's very special, and that makes them a special group.
And by the way, how many defining moments can we have in Iraq? I know that I played that quote on my show, that this is a defining moment, but there have been other ones, he said. I don't think you get more than one defining moment per lifetime or per conflict.
Well, he lives in an etch-a-sketch world, and, you know, when things get too complicated, you just shake it and start over.
Is that it? Oh, man, I wish I had a do-over on my defining moment.
I think many of us do. Now, speaking of McCain, and we've heard a lot, Barack Obama in particular has been repeating almost daily the mention that McCain made that he could see American forces in Iraq for up to 100 years. And you've got a clip of Karl Rove trying to explain and defend this remark of the senator from Arizona.
Well, the reason is, Peter, the apologists, the surrogates for McCain have gone full bore on reducing the impact of this 100-year statement. Joe Feinstein, Joe Lieberman, was on the campaign trail explaining this away, and Rove is doing it at the young Republican level. And so this is the clip. A little piece of magic.
We're hanging on. We're standing by.
Here we go.
For technology to
Senator
work.
McCain was asked about his willingness to see U.S. troops remain in the Middle East. And he said the following. Sure, 100 years. We've been in South Korea. We've been in Japan for 60 years. We've been in South Korea for 50 years or more. That would be fine with me. As long as Americans are not being injured or harmed or wounded or killed, that's fine with me. I hope that would be fine with you. For if we maintain a presence in a very volatile part of the world where Al-Qaeda is training, recruiting, and equipping and motivating people every single day. And how did Senator Obama treat this? He said that Senator McCain wanted, quote, wants to fight a 100-year war in Iraq. Now think about this. We sit here in a building that houses a school of international relations. We've had U.S. troops in Germany since August of 1945. We've had U.S. troops in Japan since August of 1945. We've had U.S. troops in Korea since 1950. And think how much different the world would be if they weren't there. Think what would have happened if sometime in the 50s or the 60s we said, you know what, let's get out of Germany. Do you think the Soviet Union would have fallen? Think of the instability that would have been injected into Asia if we said, you know what, we're out of Japan, we're out of Korea. What Senator McCain was talking about was the projection of American power to maintain stability in a dangerous and difficult part of the world. And he was precise and detailed in his explanation, and Senator Obama responded by the politics of spin and PR and by scoring cheap political points. Today there was a column in the Washington Post, and I think it's worth quoting at length. If you didn't see it, dig it up on the Internet.
Dig it up on the Internet, Peter, if you didn't see it.
I didn't, and I'll dig it up. But he's channeling Tom DeLay there, ain't he?
He is, and he's talking about, first of all, we had troops in Germany well before August of 45. I hate to correct him, but it shows. See, this is the problem with the right-wing nuts who think they know history. And it is a technical point. We had troops well before. The war was over in Germany in May of 1945. And it wasn't won without the Americans. So it's ridiculous. First of all, there's no peace treaty. We are not at peace with Korea. There is no peace treaty. We're part of the UN, part of the UN presence in Korea, because all we have is an armistice. We're technically still at war with Korea, and if you look at the DMZ between North Korea and South Korea, it's obvious. Japan, you know, we could talk about that, but Germany, Peter, here's the point. I moved my office, and I found this book. It's beautiful. It's The American Military Occupation of Germany, 1945 to 1953. It was written in 1953 by the Historical Division of the United States Army Europe. So in 13 months, we redeployed from May of 1945, 12 May, when the end of VE Day, victory in Europe, when all the bells rang, you know, all that stuff. May of 1945 to June of 1946, we redeployed 3,044,985 individuals, or 99.2% of theater strength as of VE Day. Only 780,000 went to Japan. The rest of them, 1.2 million, went home. So for him to say that we'll just round it up and make all these connections where there are no connections.
Well, for example, Scott, troops deployed in Germany, what effect did that have on the way the Soviet Union fell? The Soviet Union fell because they spent themselves into oblivion. And
But they spent themselves where, Peter? Where was the final blow? Afghanistan.
Right.
And the idea that somehow... And here's something else. Then this manual was for everybody to look at, not just me. They could have pulled it off the shelf. They started planning for the occupation of Germany well before VE Day, before Victory in Europe Day.
Mm-hmm.
So they had already planned, and it says in the book, they had planned to fight this last-ditch Nazi resistance, to deal with with guerrilla warfare, to deal with the snipers, to deal with all that. They had a plan. And when it turned out not to be true, then that's when they really sent the – that's why it took 13 months to get everybody home.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a plan for dealing with something that we didn't in Iraq. We never made any assumptions that there might be violence. And now we're in this occupation with no occupational plan. They even refused to call it an occupation. And the plans for occupation are completely different than they are. Within 2 years, Peter, we were using Germans to guard and as police.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a photographer in China, and he has a picture in his big folder of a Japanese soldier with his rifle and bayonet. And I said, wait, this is, where did you get this picture? He goes, I took it. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, when Hirohito said stop fighting, the Japanese stopped fighting, we used them as guards so we wouldn't have to guard our base. So the idea that we had soldiers in Japan and soldiers in Germany and soldiers in South Korea under the same conditions we have soldiers in Iraq is completely just
political spin.
It's crap. It's garbage. It's idiotic. And if anybody believes it, just is ignorant.
All right. Let's talk to Nick in Arcata. Welcome, Nick. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hey, I've got a question for Scott. Maybe he can clarify a thought I've had. It sounds like the Bush administration really started kind of working on this torture thing the minute they got in the door. Do you think a lot of that had to do with they were going to expose it to the populace and therefore kind of terrify the populace a little bit that, hey, we're willing to use torture, you know, on a few high-profile cases, you know, just kind of let it slip that we got some information because we tortured them, you know, that kind of thing?
Do you mean prove they're tough guys, prove they're political manhood?
Yeah, prove
none
that
of
they're
them
willing to do damn near
uniform?
Anything to scare, kind of put us in line.
Well, that too. I mean, it's all part of the shock and awe fear campaign, you know, and also to give themselves a set of cojones that they don't have. Because if any of those people who've never had jobs, they've only been employed, if they would have served a day in the uniform, I don't think they'd be so quick to torture.
The other thing I'd add here, Nick, is that I think that there was a conscious idea of making Bush seem crazy to the Muslim world. And also to see him as crazed by Muslims. And I think they wanted to project a kind of unpredictability, a kind of we're more barbaric than you are attitude. And I think they believed in their fundamentalist, self-righteous way that that was a winning strategy, that to project that to the world would scare people, intimidate them in a way that they thought would benefit the U.S.
And, well, it really made me nervous.
Yeah?
Well, you know, Peter, how many guys have been beat up in bars because they projected that same kind of power but then couldn't back it up? And you notice they're using surrogates. They're using the military to be their bullies for them. And that's really disgusting, and it's a travesty. And I can't believe that Americans aren't outraged that the Bush administration, the neocons, these right-wing nuts, actually used our military to torture people.
Yeah. Nick, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Next is Jake in Eureka. Hello, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Good.
You know, this comparison that John McCain is making, the idea of a 100-year occupation in Iraq being somewhat similar to the occupation of Germany or Japan after World War II, you know, those countries were, you know, pacified almost completely relatively shortly after the war ended. I think the comparison that's more appropriate would be Palestine. And 40 years after the Israeli army occupied Palestine, the Palestinians are not pacified. Do we really think that the Iraqis are ever going to be pacified by our military, no matter how many troops we put in there?
That's a very good point. Scott?
Of course not, because we have a large band of Shia that are very closely connected to the Iraqi Shia, and they'll do cross-border incursions, and they'll equip each other, and they'll help them out. It will be just a constant bleeding of American blood and money down the cesspool, and I'm not calling the Iraqis the cesspool. I'm talking about the concept of the neocons saying that this is a war. That's the cesspool. That's the black hole that we're just throwing bundles of money, and we're sacrificing our kids there, and it's going to turn out to be for nothing.
And let me just add to that, Jake and Scott. Matt Sherman has an op-ed in Thursday's New York Times, and let's just identify this guy. He is a principal with SCI Consulting and a senior advisor with the Scowcroft Group. That would be Brent Scowcroft, National Security Advisor to Poppy Bush in the late 80s, early 90s. And he writes, while the recent fighting in Basra and Baghdad has alerted many Americans to the danger that Shiite-on-Shiite violence poses to our goals in Iraq, it should not divert our focus from another looming threat, that the Sunni tribesmen who have sided with the American-led coalition may turn against us. And he goes on to describe how we're paying these people to stand on the corner, run checkpoints, and not shoot Americans, and that whenever we stop paying them, or maybe somebody else pays them just a little bit more, they're going to change their tune. And this is just another example of our failure to acknowledge the elements of the Civil War and our belief that we can play one of these groups off against the other, and we will come out and prevail. And it's just madness.
That's a fact, Peter.
Jake, anything else?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to say that I think those, you know, Sunni tribesmen that are currently working with the American military, you know, if they don't get the deal they want in terms of the Iraqi oil and the dividends from that oil, they won't be working with our military very long.
Good point. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate the call. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. If you have a comment, it's still time. There's still time for you to call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Well, some better news this time around in Castroville. Westbound 156 at Highway 1. Two separate crashes that had the left lane blocked have now been cleared out of the way, but you may still see some heavy residual traffic as you approach the area. For Seaside, southbound 1 at the Fort Ord main gate, a broken down car is partially blocking the left lane. Rio Del Mar City Streets, Rio Del Mar Boulevard at Clubhouse Drive, a two-car crash. They've actually pulled into a nearby parking lot, CHP, on the way. And heads up, Gilroy, Monterey Highway northbound on-ramp to northbound 101. It's a piece of plywood in the lanes. This is brought to you by Dexatrim Max. New Dexatrim Max Daytime Appetite Control. Same great Dexatrim Max, but now with extended release action to help block hunger and boost energy and metabolism throughout the day. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise,
582-9149.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where it's 8 minutes in front of the hour. Next hour, we open up the phones to hear from you in the free speech zone. And I know topic A is going to be the suspension by Air America Radio of talk show host Randy Rhodes. It was announced today, Thursday, and we'll give you the details and the context about that coming up just after the top of the hour. And, of course, you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We lost our connection with Scott Dick, and we're going to get it back right now. And I want to just update you on a new report from the Associated Press. At the same time Americans are paying more to fill their vehicles at home, the U.S. military's fuel costs in Iraq are skyrocketing. Military units pay an average of, get this, $3.23 a gallon for gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. And this is in a country that used to export a whole lot of oil and used to sell gasoline for about 25 cents a gallon, somewhere in that range. Am I right, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, they used to. It's an oil-producing nation. I mean, before the sanctions, they weren't that great a producer, but they exported more than they took in, and so it was a great subsidy to be able to sell gasoline that cheap. And now we're getting to buy it at $13 a gallon for our unmanned drones, even. So we're getting gouged left and right.
Wasn't the idea here that Dick Cheney's secret energy committee was figuring out how we can increase the oil supply and make it more plentiful and cheap for Americans?
Don't you remember those neocon bigwigs testifying to Congress, poo-pooing all the ideas that this is going to be an expensive conflict, unnecessarily expensive conflict? They said, no, the oil we're going to get from Iraq is going to pay for it. And we have something called the Defense Energy Support Center, which buys fuel on the open market, paying between $1.99 and, you know, $5.30 a gallon. And then they're reselling it. And when I say reselling it, it's because it comes out of the unit operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
So they do account for every, you know, gallon for the most part. And my suggestion on my show last night was, instead of boxing up teddy bears and DVDs, we should be sending containers of gasoline over to our troops and maybe make it cheaper, because we can buy gas cheaper here.
Well, it's a little tougher to ship, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure we could find a shipper that would handle it. You know, we get Blackwater to do it.
A nice little no-bid cost-plus contract?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Scott, let me turn to one last thing here in this hour and get your advice and counsel, because President Bush is on this swan song tour of Europe and the former republics of the Soviet Union. He's been in Ukraine and a couple of the other satellites there. And he's inviting just about everybody, including Romania, to join NATO. And I'm starting to lose the perspective here of what the purpose of NATO is. If we invite everybody but the Ruskies and the Cubans and maybe a couple of other rogue nations to join us, haven't we just kind of replicated the United Nations?
Except the United Nations doesn't have a military arm. And so I think his goal is to get all of the former Soviet Union blocs to join NATO as a sort of counterweight to the Russians. And the Russians don't like it. And so it, in and of itself, can spark a conflict. It's been a continuing thorn in the Russian side ever since NATO began to expand soon after the EU expanded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an issue. And, you know, he is such a prescient and sentient diplomat. I mean, he really represents the United States of America so well that today he just got up and abruptly left a NATO meeting because he was tired of listening to all their stuff.
Well, and
went home.
Yesterday in Bucharest, he was there with the Romanian prime minister. They're doing a joint news conference, and Bush got bored and started to leave. And the Romanian said, well, excuse me, I'm not finished.
I'm still talking to my media and, you know, this guy, the least curious, the most pathologically stubborn president we've ever had. And this is the kind of stuff that goes into the I am just dumb category.
How about a free neck rub for Angela Merkel?
Yeah. I mean, you know. So, and McCain, he's not even distinguishing himself from Bush. He's not even distancing himself from Bush. He's lapping up all of the policies, techniques, and procedures because he's pregnant with Bush's third term.
All right, now one more bite at NATO here. Why doesn't Bush invite, say, Romania and the Ukraine to join NAFTA?
Well, I mean, we could get domestic servants cheaper if we got them from Romania and, you know, that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's the whole thing is ridiculous, and they have a ways to go. Turkey's been trying to get into NATO for years and years and years, and everybody scares people to death because they don't know what's going to happen with Turkey. And Turkey has been, I'm sorry, they've joined the EU. They've
right.
been part of NATO forever,
yeah.
and they're a great NATO ally.
Mm-hmm.
It's the EU part, and so Europe is trying to pick its partners in some respects, and then they don't have any standards in other respects, if you listen to them. Why couldn't, since Turkey's been such a successful partner in NATO, be a successful part of the EU? Well, it's because it has Turks in it. So that's the issue for the Europeans, and they have refugees, and now they're going to, he's throwing the missile defense shield at them, like, how about take that stick?
Oh, yeah, that's brilliant.
You know, so if that gets the Russians crazy, and you know, the first thing that Bush did is he abrogated the anti-ballistic missile treaty.
Right.
So he started this whole thing off with Russia. Right from the starting line, he started off wrong.
Mm-hmm. All right, Scott, thank you very much. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure.
Talk to you again real soon. That is Scott Dick in Monterey, California. We're going to take a break and return for the Free Speech Zone. Got a comment? 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
The issues raised here extended well beyond the fate of one company.
The chairman of the Federal Reserve defended the rescue of Bear Stearns today, telling Congress that the firm's collapse might have been devastating. More from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The extraordinary use of $30 billion in tax money to keep the Wall Street firm Bear Stearns out of bankruptcy was essential to prevent economic chaos. That's what regulators, including Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, told senators.
The damage caused by default by Bear Stearns could have been severe and extremely difficult to contain.
Some senators suggested regulators should have seen this crisis coming sooner. Kentucky Republican Jim Bunning said they shouldn't have intervened.
That is socialism.
But most senators agreed it was an economic emergency and the right call. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Another troubling sign. The American Bankers Association says delinquencies on home equity and consumer loans hit a level at the end of last year that hasn't been seen since the early 90s. Association economist James Chesson isn't surprised.
Delinquencies are very much related to job growth and income growth. And when we see people losing their jobs, when we see incomes not growing at all, it means that there's going to be financial stress for many people.
Loan payments are considered delinquent when they're 30 days past due. No wonder people are pessimistic.
Americans have sour views of the economy, and in fact, they are more negative than they have been in our polls at any time since 1992.
In the latest CBS News New York Times poll, Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says 78% of respondents rated the economy bad, and only 14% said the country's on the right track. Congress heard today from two FAA whistleblowers who exposed maintenance and inspection problems at Southwest Airlines. It also heard from Southwest CEO Gary Kelly.
It's a black guy. But what my commitment to you is that we're going to take this constructively, and we're going to be better for that.
More from CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Critics say the incident is a sign that the agency has become too cozy with the airlines it regulates.
The system that is in place, in which the FAA and the air carriers cooperate in oversight, has obviously been a good one. But there has to be an edge to that relationship as well.
A federal investigation made public today alleges a pattern of excessive leniency at the FAA at the expense of effective oversight.
Monica Kim and two friends arrived at Los Angeles International this morning to find that their airline, ATA, had gone bankrupt and canceled all flights.
I had booked tickets for Hawaii last April for my birthday, and so we've been anticipating this trip for like a year. So sad.
Thousands of passengers were left to scramble for alternatives. The Dow up 20 points today. The Nasdaq gained nearly two. This is CBS News.
Tell me what you want.
Dell has people talking. Like the customer who wrote, "There is no other choice when it comes to quality, performance, and value." Value like saving $220 now on a select Dell Vostro laptop featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at Dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. But what's with 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal, exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
Maybe they won't be economics majors, but high school seniors applying to college are learning firsthand about the law of supply and demand. There's more competition than ever for every seat in next year's freshman class.
At Harvard and Yale, acceptance rates plunged to around 7 or 8%. Not much better at MIT, says admissions dean Stuart Schmill, buried in a record number of applications.
The fact that we have an increase in applications, we still look at things the same way.
And that meant more rejection letters. Barry Norman runs an admissions counseling website.
Students who expected to get into certain places, I think, got that, you know, thin envelope and were a bit surprised.
Competition figures to be fierce again next year, with the number of high school seniors peaking at a record high. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
The Predator drone aircraft has been used with devastating effect against extremists in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now the U.S. Forest Service has acquired two civilian versions. The drones will be used to search for marijuana crops in the woods of California. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Hummer knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Good Wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Hummer Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Good Wrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Like everyone, I have a medical history. But unlike most people's, mine is always working for me.
Aetna's personal health record provides our members with secure, anytime access to their medical histories. It automatically scans test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions, and compares them to the latest medical findings.
It alerted me to important information I shared with my doctors.
We want you to know. Aetna. The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. The Aetna personal health record should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's health conditions or medical treatments. Available information on test diagnoses and prescriptions may vary by member.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments welcome here, and I pay for the call. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. What did Randy Rhodes say anyway, huh?
Didn't have the money right to buy a Murray Fowl. Been around a sailor like to shake me now. Begged and borrowed, sometimes I admit I even stole. The worst crime that I ever did was playing rock and roll. But the money's no good. Just get a grip on yourself. But the money's no good.
have some punk stuff out of the 80s from the Stranglers. It's called Get a Grip on Yourself. And if Randy Rhoads asked me for advice, that's probably what I'd say. Hey, girl, get a grip on yourself. Now, what happened is about 2 weeks ago, Randy came to San Francisco to an event, a party hosted by her affiliate and my affiliate, Green 960 KKGN. The station's owned by Clear Channel. It's an Air America affiliate. They carry Tom Hartman, Stephanie Miller, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhoads, and they feature my program late at night. And Randy came out for a party. And to give you context here, which I think is important, it was a nightclub-type setting. And she was working for laughs. I've seen parts of the video. You can find it at rawstory.com. It's also at YouTube, and I'm sure it's proliferated all over the web today. And so she's riffing and working for laughs, and she's, shall we say, not censoring her language. And so over the course of her comments, her remarks, she said, "What a whore Geraldine Ferraro is. She's such a effing whore," Rhoads remarked. A little bit later, she said, "Hillary is a big effing whore, too." You know why she's a big effing whore? Because her deal is always, read the fine print, a-hole. Now, that is strong language, but it was not on a radio broadcast. This was off campus, not on the air. And if there's a mistake been made here, it is that they shot it on video and put it up on YouTube. I think it also appeared on the Green 960 website. And so it's a difficult situation because a lot of Clinton supporters got very active today, and I know it through my email. There may certainly have been many others who commented on this one way or the other, but first thing this morning, I got an email. I'm on a daily list for a news digest that comes from a woman in Chicago named Carolyn Kay, K-A-Y, and her website is MakeThemAccountable.com. She does a great job of parsing the news, offering some comments, and I enjoy reading it on a daily basis. I have noticed over the last few months that she's become more partisan and is clearly a Hillary Clinton supporter. She sent around a bulletin earlier today with a link to the video of Randy Rhoads' comments at this party in San Francisco about 2 weeks ago. And she was outraged. And it's interesting because in my email inbox here, I'm on a distribution list from Air America because I'm not an employee of theirs, but I do work as an independent contractor, and I substitute, as you may know, for Tom Hartman and for John Elliott on Air America. So in my email here, the first one is from Carolyn Kay saying Randy Rhoads calls Ferraro and Clinton whores. And then the very next email is from Air America, and it says Air America suspends Randy Rhoads. So the timing on that is interesting. I'm not suggesting that there is a direct connection between Carolyn Kay's protest and Air America's response. But this did occur 10 days ago. And there certainly Randy Rhoads was aware of what she said, and she probably was aware that there was a video, but it took this long for it to surface. Now, what I don't know yet is how the right-wing media is handling this. I would imagine that Rush and his clones are making big hay out of this, and that Bill O'Reilly will have a lengthy segment on his program tonight about it. I also don't know how the nominally moderates, the folks at MSNBC, like Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann, will handle this clip. But I suggest here one thing that may occur, and a week or so from now we will know. I think that the Clinton campaign is going to use this the way Bill Clinton used Sister Souljah back in 1992. I think that Hillary Clinton is going to say, "I have been attacked by the liberal media." And in this case, it will be true for a change. And then I think she will try to modulate that, triangulate it, and make herself into a centrist victim of the liberal media. And on that basis, I must repudiate and renounce and reject and all those other R words the comments of Randy Rhodes. Frankly, they were uncalled for, and while she may not have expected them ever to be broadcast, she plays YouTube clips just like I do on a daily basis. She made, you know, incredible mileage out of Senator Allen's macaca moment. And so those of us who employ these swords and live by them in our broadcast booths must also expect that these swords can be turned on us. And I think that her comments were over the top. I don't think Hillary Clinton is a whore or an effing whore. And I took great exception to Geraldine Ferraro's remarks, but I would never use those terms on her. Even if I'd had six drinks and was letting what's left of my hair down with two or three buddies. And I never would say it in a public setting, particularly if I knew videos were rolling. So the suspension from Air America is indefinite. The announcement was terse from the new CEO of Air America, Charlie Kiriker. And that's pretty much what I know up to the moment. So I'd like to hear your comments. Lines are open, 888-5-PETER-B. And I did get one email here. I'll share that with you before we take a phone call. And one was Jamie, who just wanted to know what Randy said. And the other is from someone whose email address is FM. And it just reads, "The executives who suspended Randy Rhodes are a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites!" Exclamation point. So tell me what you think. 888-573-8372. Scott and Carmel, you're first in the free speech zone. Good afternoon.
Hi there. My comment about Randy Rhodes being suspended, for her comment is that while I feel that as a comedian she has a right to do her act, but I think that maybe what Air America officers are looking at in this case is a lack of good judgment on her part. In this case, in that she's filmed making these really horrible comments, on top of what appears to me as a listener to be bad judgment from time to time on the air, and I'll elaborate on that very quickly.
Right.
On Monday, I listened to her, and there are days of the week, certain days, and not a given day, but there are certain times when I listen when she is absolutely impossible for anybody to even reason with or support. A man called in on Monday supporting a point she'd made, and she argued him into the ground when she asked him to speculate what the other side was thinking. And there are times when I listen to her and I'm infuriated. I'm like, would you stop and listen to the person who is actually supporting your point? So I'm wondering if not that this is a response to perceived lack of judgment from time to time on her part. Anyway, that's my opinion. Because
All right.
There are times when I want to turn her off because she seems so close-minded and set on perhaps just being a shock jock and entertaining that she loses focus.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to just let you have your point of view. There's no quarter in it for me. I go out of my way not to criticize other progressive talk show hosts, and I don't get involved in any name-calling. Today I've kind of modified that a little bit to share my views about what Randy did. But as callers make comments, I'm just going to let them stand because you're entitled to your opinion, and I'm sure many people have similar views about me. That's the way it works in talk radio. We are objects of affection and derision, sometimes in equal parts, and sometimes we ask for it and sometimes we don't. So I appreciate your comments, and I understand why you made them. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Sonny in Aptos. Hello, Sonny. It's Peter B.
Yes, I'm going to calm myself down here a little bit.
All right.
I'm going to go all the way back to Marshall McLuhan. The medium is the message.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the medium is the message and these postings or whatever it is you're talking about sound like in the old days what were called slam books, into which people, kids would slam each other in these books, and if we're going to start letting the influence of free speech in a free places, public places, and allow cameras or recordings, we are going to voluntarily ourselves into George Orwell's prediction. And if we have no choice because we are employed by the medium that allows us to hear the message, regardless of whose message it is, if the people who are responsible with their mouths, not with their brains, but with their mouths, to put out messages that are not part of the medium, but accepted as part of the medium, because the medium will pick it up once it is, people are listening to it. So I'm just kind of really disappointed with you. Randy Rose is a person I listen to occasionally, as I listen to a number of stations occasionally.
All right, Sonny, I'm not clear on why you're disappointed with me.
I'm disappointed with you because I think you attempt in every way to come across with whatever it is you're coming across with in a balanced kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you go up a little bit past it. Sometimes you go down a little bit below it. But not enough for anybody to ever say you're prejudicial
mm-hmm.
towards anything, any points, or anyone. But if you listen to you, you know where your heart is.
Right.
And that's important for people to understand that it's not the mouth that is the medium, but it's what's coming out of the heart. That's the message. And everyone has to be discerning enough to understand that. So again, as I told your producer, I can understand your position, and I guess I should take back disappointed. I can understand your position, and I hope people are listening to what's going on here.
All right, Sonny, I'm out of time. Got to take a break.
Thank
appreciate
you very
your
much.
Comment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your call can be next. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
From Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
You know you move too fast. This is Professor Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, asking you to join me Sundays at high noon. We're talking about poetry that makes a difference, and we want to hear from KRXA listeners who think for yourselves. Our theme this month is the poetry of trees. Here's your assignment. Call in with a line you love about a tree or that makes a difference. This is a new kind of news we need. We're launching here at 5:40, Sunday, noon. Together we'll make the morning last.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off with a problem. It's actually in Santa Clara County, eastbound Highway 9 after Skyline Boulevard. An overturned car, it is blocking the left-hand lane. CHP is on the way, but look for delays as you approach the area. Rio Del Mar, just a minor problem. Rio Del Mar Boulevard at Clubhouse Drive. Two cars have actually pulled into a nearby parking lot. CHP should be out there sorting things out. Heads up, Aptos southbound 1 at State Park Drive. We have a ladder, and that apparently is blocking the left-hand lane. Highway 1, some road construction that's causing delays. delays both directions between Market Street and Morrissey Avenue. They're taking down the Branciforte Avenue overcrossing. Also, Highway 68 currently checking in, stall and accident free. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
There we go. It's a beautiful day around San Francisco Bay. And we go north of San Francisco. It's Colleen in Santa Rosa. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm pretty well.
And what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to give a little report from the California Democratic Party's convention that took place last weekend in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
As I went online to read their platform in the section regarding Iraq and such, it just didn't seem to me that the language was strong enough. So I worked with members of Progressive Democrats of America and the Progressive Caucus to make an amendment to add some language to the section on world peace and international relations.
Mm-hmm.
And it states that this new administration must bring our troops home starting now. To this end, we support the repeal of the 2002 authorization to use military force in Iraq, oppose further appropriations, except those as necessary for a safe and orderly withdrawal of our troops from Iraq, to begin without delay, and to call for an international conference to implement a ceasefire in Iraq. So this is the state party's platform moving forward to end an undeclared war.
And was this adopted by the convention?
It was adopted, and not only that, we had to get 300 signatures to get this added in the final hour.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up getting close to 450. We worked with the platform committee in advance on would they approve this and how could we wordsmith it to something that they would accept? And so we worked with Christine Pelosi, and the night before I worked with Brad Parker, who were both on the platform committee. So it was a real group effort by the progressive Democrats to help strengthen the party. And I'm hoping this is going to catch on and the other state parties will join into this and all the candidates will adopt this as their platform as well. So we can really start to get a move on not talking about getting out, but doing something about it.
And is there a website where people can grab this language and maybe send it to other state Democratic parties for adoption?
Yes, there is. The California website for the Democratic Party is CADEM, CADEM, sorry, .org.
Hey, clean up your language.
CADEM, if you want to see it.
Okay.
CADEM.org. You can go into their website and look at the convention, and then you'll see the entire platform online.
Well, Colleen, thanks for drawing our attention to this, because I think it's very important. I'm so disappointed that it's not even on the agenda for the Democrats right now. Tomorrow on our program, Joe Sestak, who is a freshman congressman from Pennsylvania and a former Navy admiral, will be joining us on the show. And one of the things I'm going to bring up is, hey, what are the Democrats doing this year? We know what was attempted and failed last year, but it seems like they've completely given up, and they're just waiting for a change in the composition of the House and Senate and a hopeful change at the White House to try to, you know, do anything next year. But I haven't given up, and I believe that the Democrats have tools available to them to cut off funding for the war and to force the president to change course and change policy. But they are too timid and, in my view, too calculating in this election year to actually move forward with them. Colleen, thanks for your call today. And again, CADEM, CADEM.org is where you can find that resolution. Coming up next, more of your phone calls. Join me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You can talk about Randy Rhodes suspension or anything else that's on your mind. 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
Well, this Friday, April 4th, it's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
And I don't just sleep in my car. I wake up in the neighborhood of my choice.
Along with comedian Bent Washburn.
I love the prospect of a mountain lion eating a billionaire. There's just something fair about that.
Ukulele Dick. The great Morgani.
Dr. Rupert Opie.
Simone Cox.
They let the players out.
Chris Magyar. Zach Friend.
All comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save $5.
At Streetlight Records and Gateway's Books.
They won't let you spray for people.
That's this Friday, April 4th at 8 p.m. at the Columba in Santa Cruz.
Planet Cruz.
You're going to laugh your glutes off.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. Lines are open for you. I want your comment at 888-5-PETER-B.
Listen.
Did you know we're making a conversion in television from analog to digital? And your current TV will be obsolete very soon?
I'm working 40 hours, 6 long days. And I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody. Lord, they're working poor folks to death. And when you pay your rent and your car note, you ain't got a damn thing left. Ain't that a bitch?
Yes, it is.
Somebody doing something sick.
That's the late, great Johnny Guitar Watson.
Yeah. Got me wondering which is which. Dig a ditch, ain't that a bitch?
Now, don't go outside and dig a ditch and put your old TV in it, okay? That would be a mistake. And we've got a tip for you, or two, about what to do with your old TV set. Joining us now is Jennifer Bemisterfer. I hope I got your name right. Jennifer, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, that's right. Thanks for having me.
And you're from the Consumer Electronics Afterlife?
No, I'm actually from the Consumer Electronics Association.
Oh, you're still...
We're a trade association for all of the manufacturers and retailers and installers of your favorite devices, consumer electronics.
Okay, I read the lines wrong here. You're with the CEA, and there was a study called Trends in Consumer Electronics Afterlife. That's where I got the afterlife part.
That's right. You know, I want to just correct a common misperception you mentioned in your intro that people's TVs are going to be obsolete after February 17th, 2009, which is the analog shutoff. And that's actually far from the case. Only 11% of U.S. households exclusively rely on over-the-air television broadcasts. For people who already have digital televisions or who are connected to cable or satellite, which is the vast majority of Americans, their TVs will continue to work and they'll experience no interruptions.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought I had to get rid of my old TV, so you've helped me correct my own misperception here. Now,
absolutely not. That is a common misperception, and it's what CEA is out educating consumers about what's going to happen after February 17th, 2009, and what consumers need to do to prepare.
Okay.
You know, but for those households that are upgrading to DTV, or they're one of these analog households that are considering moving their analog TVs out of their homes, what we're finding is that a lot of consumers, as opposed to throwing them in the trash, they're planning on either selling, donating, or recycling those products. So this is a tremendous finding for us, and it's really new research because there hasn't been too much research out there asking consumers directly, what do you plan on doing with your TVs after the transition?
Uh-huh. Now, just to digress for a moment, I'm singing the blues because we bought a new HD plasma TV, and after 32 days, it shut itself off and will not turn back on.
that's unfortunate.
Now, do you have any pull at Panasonic, Jennifer? Can you get them to help me? Because they're ignoring me right now. They want to claim that the warranty expired and it's not their problem.
I do know a couple people at Panasonic. I'm sure they'd be glad to help you out.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, I'm working on it right now. But anyway, that's my problem. So with CRTs, the old-style computer displays, and with my old television set, you know, the big one with the big tube, what is the proper way to dispose of that? I don't know anybody who'd buy that stuff, but if I want to get rid of it, where should I take it?
We advocate that consumers look into recycling options, and we've found a way to make that easy and convenient for consumers with our website, mygreenelectronics.org. Anyone in America can go on our website, type in their zip code, and find a list of recyclers in their local area. It'll list what types of products they take back and any requirements and any fees associated with recycling. And then there are also some corporate recycling programs from people like Sony, Panasonic has a recycling program. So it's important to look into those types of programs as well, and those are also available. More information is on our website, mygreenelectronics.org.
And are there any, rebates? If I buy a new TV, will they pay me to recycle my old one?
You know, lots of manufacturers are looking into programs like that. I know Sony has an innovative take-back program that's nationwide. So that's certainly a possibility.
All right. And what else do you want to tell us, Jennifer, that might help people make this transition?
Well, I think it's just important to note that recycling in general is on the rise, and this is very heartening for us. We see consumers being a lot more thoughtful and proactive about the responsible disposal of their electronics devices. Our survey said that 91% of consumers believe recycling is important. And then, in particular, 87% of consumers say it's important to recycle consumer electronics devices. So, you know, given the fact that consumer electronics recycling, as compared to, say, recycling your household trash, is a relatively new activity, mm-hmm. we think that's great news for the environment.
All right. Well, Jennifer, thanks for this information. The website you mentioned is mygreenelectronics.org. Again, mygreenelectronics.org. Our thanks to Jennifer Bemisterfer for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Good to talk with you. Back to your calls now in the Free Speech Zone. We've got Tim in Monterey. Hello, Tim. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. I know I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah, I know, but you did. So. I'll try not to go ballistic right now.
Yeah, I'm calling about Randy Rhodes.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I want to say I did listen to O'Reilly today, and yeah, they're after her big time and characterizing her comments as left wing, radical, nutcase stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what about my remark that this may be used by the Clinton campaign to wedge out the far left, as Bill did with Sister Souljah in 92?
Well, it may be, but first of all, I want to say some really good things about Randy. She's one of my very favorite talk show people.
Uh-huh, good.
She holds people's feet to the fire. She's talking truth to power. She's really on it. She's talking about impeachment when nobody else wants to. She is very well researched, and she's intelligent. She's articulate, and it's unfortunate that she said this. But on the other hand, we've got people like, let's say, Michael Savage, that tears people apart every day. He calls everybody vermin. He wants to put everybody in Guantanamo. He wants to take the ACL, any member of the ACLU, which I proudly one of.
He's a misogynist pig who has a bizarre theory about women with clipped hair.
Exactly.
You know, they have clipped hair, and when their hair is clipped, you can't trust them anymore. It's like, what?
Right, and he gets a free ride from these guys, from O'Reilly and from the Clintons and from everybody else. I mean, they call her on it. And speaking of somebody that calls her on it, Stephanie Miller, every morning calls people a lying sack of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And she's on the air. You know, I love her.
Right. But you do understand, Tim, that the language that Randy used, which may have been appropriate for a comedy club, a nightclub, or something like that, it is being YouTubed out of context, and it is being used in a very vicious way that, at least temporarily, is silencing Randy Rhoads. I'm uncomfortable with this linkage of things that occurred off the air. I think Air America is well within its rights to suspend a host who goes too far or breaks the law or their policies on the air. But
right.
it's a difficult situation for me when these were made in front of a friendly audience in a kind of raucous nightclub context, and she let it rip. And I do have to say that if I were in her position, I wouldn't have let it rip quite that much. But she's entitled to let it rip as she sees fit.
Say that again.
Either would I, but I'm not Randy Rhoads. But I appreciate her sense of humor and her her calling people on. I mean, when you really actually get it, she has a total right to say that kind of thing. And I feel like Air America is kind of throwing her under the bus. Of all the good things that she has done, of all the influential people that she talks to and so forth, in Congress and the Senate and so forth, the people that she has on, and it just seems to me a shame to just discount her by suspending her for an indiscretion in a private club, like you say.
All right. Thank you for your comment, Tim. I appreciate it. We'll take more calls in a moment. 888-5 Peter B. And pro or con, you're welcome to comment on Air America's announcement today that they have suspended Randy Rhoads. And if you're just joining us, you don't know why, when you get home, log on to rawstory.com or YouTube, and you can see the clip and make up your mind and think for yourself.
Trash.com.
And now, the very independent journalist R.J. Schulman returns to our program. He publishes on the web at the Post Times Sun Dispatch, and the website is ptsd1.blogspot.com. R.J., how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's good to talk to you again, as usual. And, gosh, it's amazing. I never pull up your latest stories until right before we talk to you. And we've spent quite a bit of time today talking about John Yoo and the torture memo. And here it is at the Post-Times Sun Dispatch. You've got an angle that the corporate media hasn't picked up on. Tell us.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Peter. As usual, you're going to have an exclusive on this. But Mr. Yoo, in an interview with our paper, the Post-Times Sun Dispatch, disclosed that he was tortured into writing that memo.
Oh, really? What did they do to him?
Well, he said, and I'm quoting here, when somebody is sticking a hot poker up your keister, suddenly it's easy to say the international laws against torture don't apply to the president. And when you're being waterboarded, all I could do was say, blub, blub, blub. And when they stopped pouring water on my face, I could repeat it as, anything you say, Mr. Cheney.
Wow. This is explosive. Now, did you get any comment from President Bushicator?
The president did weigh in on this. He said, I don't know any of this talk about hot keisters and surfboarding, but it's clear as night. As the decider, I have decided that I am not above any law that I decide I have to follow, and as of yet to this date, I have not read any law that meets my strict requirements of follocation, as they will get in the way of winning the war on terror. That's a direct quote.
Wow. This is amazing. I thought we were pretty exhaustive in our coverage, but we missed that, RJ. I just have to give you kudos.
Now, I can't believe it that nobody else picked it up, but I think what struck me about this is Mr. Yu is now teaching law at Berkeley.
Yeah, we know
and
that.
I wonder what it would be like to take a law class from him, you know, something like maybe the legal system and the divine right of kings might be one of his courses, or, you know, the law as a weapon of mass destruction, or perhaps one of the courses that I think he's teaching this semester, which is Why Nuremberg Was Wrong.
Ooh. Well, the other thing I can imagine is that his classrooms, the temperature varies. One day it's really, really hot, and the next day it's really, really cold.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Now, another blockbuster up at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch today, Dick Cheney has nominated himself as VP for life.
Yes, if you remember that when Bush was running and got the nomination in 2004, he tapped Dick Cheney to be in charge of the nominating committee for a vice president.
That's right.
And, of course, Mr. Cheney immediately chose himself.
Mm-hmm.
What has come out here is that Dick Cheney has made himself permanent committee chair on the search committee for a vice president, and has actually talked to all the leading candidates, Mr. McCain, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, saying that he's nominating himself as the vice president.
Wow. Huh. Isn't there like a term limit on the vice president? Can't we stop him from running again?
Well, it's really interesting that you bring that up. But the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution, which was passed after Franklin Delano Roosevelt ran for a record fourth term, actually only talks about the president and does not specifically say a vice president cannot run for more than two terms.
Wow, that'll make some Al Gore fans happy, because there are people who imagine that Obama might pick Al Gore as his VP, and I was not clear on whether he was termed out or not. But, gosh,
no, as a matter of fact, I think that even Alan Dershowitz, that Harvard law professor, has, in a rare moment, agreed with Mr. Cheney that there are no limits on how many times someone can be the vice president.
Wow. RJ, I always learn a lot from you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter B. Have a great week.
Read all about it at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. That's ptsd1.blogspot.com. Believe it or don't. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls. Lines available at 888-5. Peter B. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A new problem coming in for San Juan Batista, southbound 101 at Bettabel Road. A big rig spilled a load of fertilizer all over the Bettabel Road off-ramp, actually. The big rig that lost it is pulled over to the side. CHP is on the way, and that may cause some delays if you're in the area. Also in San Benito County for Hollister, 3rd Street at Highway 25, the traffic light's apparently out, so remember to treat that intersection as a four-way stop. For Gilroy, a couple of problems. South 101 at 10th Street, we have a large ladder in the third lane from the left. Also, South 101 after Leavesley Road, a solo spin-out crash reported off to the side. Finally, eastbound 9 after Skyline Boulevard, solo overturned car still reportedly blocking the left lane. CHP is on the scene. This is brought to you by Ace Hardware. The Help My Home sale is going on now at participating Ace Hardware stores. Stop in today for expert help, friendly advice, and great deals. Sale ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The free speech zone continues at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you're one of our weekend listeners in Portland, Oregon, or one of our late-night listeners in San Francisco, best way to communicate is email. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you disagree with me, try fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Resist the urge to add anything else. Full of it will get you through to me. And here's an email that came in on the Randy Rhodes suspension from Air America. And this is from Catherine. She says, I've not been able to listen to Randy Rhodes for several months. I find her increasingly shrill, fixated on minutia, and downright annoying. It seems others have now agreed. Her on-air presence tends to fixate on silly things like whether Oprah is using a preacher's speaking style to support Barack or not. With all of the serious issues confronting us, I do not think precious airtime should be spent this way. Let Rush Limbaugh and his ilk do that sort of unprofessional silliness. I agree that Rhodes' coarse behavior has now finally flipped over the top. All right, well, that's your opinion, and you're welcome to it. I appreciate it. If you agree or disagree, there's still room for your call here at 888-5-PETER-B. Nancy in Winters has converted to online reception of the Peter B. Collins Show.
I have. I'm just amazing myself.
You are technically adept, Nancy.
Well, so far, except I'm one of that 11% who still has the old-fashioned TV.
Really? You get it over the air?
Well, and actually, yeah, I don't have any cable or anything. And
Do you know the freedom that you live with? I've told this story before, but I can't resist. A few years back, I was invited to be the MC of a cable broadcast of a local talent show.
Uh-huh.
And I was just having a little fun, and I said, yeah, we're live on the cable, and we want to thank it was, which cable system was it? It's changed six times since I've been here. Let's just say it was Comcast. And I said, well, this is brought to you by Comcast, the black snake that crawls in your living room and keeps demanding more money. And you know what, Nancy? They didn't invite me back the next year.
Gee, I wonder why.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't call him an effing whore.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to tell people that you don't need to toss out your TV. You can get a converter box. And the government has, you can get two coupons per household, $40 each, to be used toward the purchase of up to two converter boxes.
Right. But, Nancy, let me just share with you a little kind of problem I have. I hate to go behind the TV.
Oh, okay.
You know what's back there? It's cobwebs and DVDs
Death
and
bennies.
VHS tapes that have fallen back there.
Oh, I know.
Who knows what I'll find?
Well, I just thought people listening out there might not know. I guess most people know that, but I just thought I'd call in and mention that. Since
I'm glad you mentioned it because I misstated the facts. I actually was under the impression that the analog TVs would be dead. I know that, you know, converter boxes work, but I had a TV that was called HD Ready.
Uh-huh.
And what that meant was for another $1,000, I could buy an HD tuner and it would work on that TV.
Mm.
And so I guess I'm a little jaundiced about some of these conversion kits and that kind of thing. Also, the cost of new TVs has come down to the point where it's often, you know, kind of a bad investment to put more money into converting an ancient TV.
Well, supposedly this is a $40 coupon, and supposedly the boxes are supposed to run between $50 and $70. So I don't know. I was just going to do that. I didn't want to have to go out and buy a new TV because I don't watch it that much to where I felt like I'd need a new one. But,
yeah.
Well, anyway.
Well, thank you for the update. I appreciate it, Nancy. Good to hear from you in Winters.
Bye.
All right. Well, interesting stuff. Interesting things. And I certainly wish Randy Rhodes the best. And I hope that this is a brief suspension for her. And I also hope that the right wing does not turn this into a macaca moment, although I fear that that's what they will do. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out, to what extent this displaces Jeremiah Wright and Hillary's Tuzla moment on television coverage. And as I said earlier, I am uncomfortable that Randy Rhodes was suspended, not for her work, her on-air behavior, but something she did after hours. And I don't know if she was paid to come to San Francisco to appear at that event, but probably not. So it's a bit of a stretch as to whether, you know, Air America actually has the legal right to punish her for this. And I'll give you another example. 15 years ago, I was working at KNBR in San Francisco. And the guy who followed me doing a sports talk show named Mark Ibanez also is the longtime sports anchor at Channel 2, KTVU. And at a certain time, he criticized the San Francisco Giants for a trade, a player trade that they made. And he did the criticism on Channel 2. But the Giants, the baseball team, went to the management of the radio station and said, look what he said on TV. We want you to fire him. And because of the business relationship between the team and the radio station had a part ownership interest in the baseball team, they acquiesced. And Mark Ibanez got bounced from a radio station for a comment that he made on television. And the TV boss, also an investor in the Giants, also with the play-by-play contract, he didn't flinch. His name was Kevin O'Brien. And while he wasn't perfect on that score, I give Kevin O'Brien high marks. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. I enjoyed it so much, I promise to do it again tomorrow. Will you join me?
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Angry, even emotional moments on Capitol Hill today as a House panel heard from two FAA employees who blew the whistle on shoddy practices at Southwest Airlines. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
Douglas Peters choked up as he described his FAA supervisor's ominous response when he voiced concerns about unethical inspectors.
You have a good job here. Your wife has a good job over at the Dallas FISDO. I'd hate to see you jeopardize yours and hers career trying to take down a couple of losers.
As it turned out, Southwest had been flying 47 Boeing 737s that were 2.5 years overdue for inspection.
I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, I consider what has happened here egregious.
He says the FAA manager who oversaw Southwest inspections has been transferred. though not removed.
Yesterday, the FAA unveiled a new system designed to make it easier for inspectors to report their concerns. The head of Southwest calls the episode a black eye, but says they'll learn from their mistakes. Hillary Clinton raised $20 million in March, the second-best showing of her presidential campaign, but the Barack Obama campaign says it raised more than $40 million. Clinton also trails Obama in the delegate count, and if she thinks the superdelegates will save her, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she should think again.
It will do great harm to the Democratic Party if it is perceived that the superdelegates overturn the will of the people.
Clinton says she's staying in the race because she believes she can win. The Bear Stearns rescue, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke insists it wasn't a bailout, was the subject of a Senate hearing today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Senators were raising questions because the government's never done anything like this before, loaning money to a Wall Street firm to keep it out of bankruptcy. But the president of the New York Federal Reserve, Timothy Geithner, said allowing Bear Stearns to go under would have been an economic disaster.
A failure to act would have added to the risk that Americans would face lower incomes, lower home values, higher borrowing costs for housing, education, other living expenses, lower retirement savings, and rising unemployment.
Some Democrats questioned why the same argument doesn't apply to helping several million homeowners avoid foreclosure.